All right, let's get into the lesson. Yeah, and we'll be glad to talk about that more, too, as we go on. And, you know, some of it will be, you know, come up in lessons. And the scripture is the thing to go by. Let's start in the lesson today about, and I hope it'll be the final, I plan it to be the final lesson on propagating Paul's doctrine. Preaching the word, keeping it going through the centuries after Paul, between Paul and the catching up of the body of Christ. In 2 Timothy 4:9, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. 4:10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And we made the distinction between loving the world and loving those in the world. And he is departed unto Thessalonica. 2 Timothy 4:10. That's what I just read. Okay. I didn't finish it, though. Crescens, I better read it again. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. And we made the point that Dalmatia was, you know, wouldn't have been in Paul's repertoire or his area until after he had received that temple vision and the sending that the temple vision foretells, which he received in Acts 20, verse 6, to be sent out to all the Gentiles, as he says in 2 Corinthians 10:16, I believe it is. No, that's in 2 Timothy 4:17. So let's get on with the verses in today's verse list. Is Abiel with us? Abiel, okay. Let's go with 2 Timothy 4:11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable for me to me for the ministry. Well, that's. That's great. You can see, for one thing, and I didn't, let me just ad lib this, it's not in the notes, but you remember when Mark left Paul and Barnabas because, it says, because he went not unto the work. They had been commissioned, sent out to do the work, going synagogue to synagogue, preaching the gospel of Christ. And Mark left them. Well, later, when they go out again, Paul takes Silas and Barnabas takes Mark, and they split, and the Bible line follows the dispensation of the grace of God, and God working through, I should say, the dispensation of the gospel at that point, and God working through Paul, and his fellow workers, and some are called apostles, not Israel's apostles. But anyway, Barnabas goes off. You don't hear much anymore. Barnabas goes off with Mark. But here, in the last book of Paul's writings, we find out that Mark turns out to be profitable for the ministry. Apparently, he hadn't, you know, he wasn't sold on what Paul was saying, what Paul was preaching, that you can be saved without the law, without circumcision, without Israel, without blessing Israel, without keeping the Sabbath, you know. You're saved strictly by what Jesus did, not what you do, by believing that Christ died for your sins and that you're no longer bearing the weight of your sins. Sin is not on you. What if you sin and die then? Well, Christ died for that sin. You died without sin on you. But it doesn't say that Mark was in the body of Christ. He was still, as I see it, he was still a Jew, but he was but it's like those that were of the circumcision that helped Paul. There are several others mentioned. There's, I can't think of their names now. I should have looked them up. What is it? Colossians 4:10-11, I think. There's some mentioned. There's one situation in Romans 16:7. I can't remember the names in those, though. But welcome to the room. But we see that they would help Paul after they saw that Israel had fallen. They had started out as Israelites. God had started offering salvation directly to Gentiles that believed that Christ died for their sins and was resurrected for their justification. After Mark went not with them to the work, it's good to hear that Paul could use Mark in the work of the body of Christ, even though the Bible doesn't say whether or not Mark had become a part of the remnant according to the election of grace that came into the body of Christ. Remnant being a small part of Israel that came into the body. Well, the remnant according to the election of grace would be the ones that came into the body of Christ. There was a prophetic remnant that was a small part of, it was the believing part of Israel, not the apostate part. And the prophetic remnant would be Peter, James, John, Thomas, Philip, Thaddeus, Judas, all of those guys. I have a lot of respect for them, and I shouldn't have called them guys. All of those apostles, as well as, you know, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, they were in that little flock of believing Israel. That was the prophetic remnant. So, you know, Barnabas had done some discipling and teaching, helping Mark to get back on the track. And later on, Paul says, if Mark was still an Israelite, Paul got to use him along with the others. I still can't remember their names. Give me a second to just look some of this up. 4:10, I think it's 4, or is it 3? That doesn't look right. Oh, that's in 3. Let me get to 4. I thought it was in 4. Do you talk to yourself too? This is it. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas. Well, that's the mark. Okay, so he's one of those. Sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom you received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. So he was growing there. That was back in Colossians, after Acts 20, after Acts 20, 28, verse 29 even. And Jesus, who is, now this is not Jesus Christ, it's talking about somebody named Jesus, which means Savior, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision. So Aristarchus, Marcus, and Justice were of the circumcision. These are my only fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort to me. Now, he's not talking about the kingdom out of heaven, not the kingdom of God on earth, not the kingdom coming to earth from the kingdom of God in heaven. He's talking about the overall rulership of God, the kingdom of God, which is in heaven now. But, you know, what was promised to the Jews was that the kingdom would come to earth as the days of heaven on earth. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is now in heaven. So he's talking about heaven, the kingdom of God, which is in heaven. But these fellow workers would help with, you know, fixing meals or whatever, mending clothes, going to the store for supplies, booking the ship for them to go where they, you know, to Caesarea or wherever they were going. There were helpers. You know, he had a hard time. All that be in Asia have left me, he says. You know, that he had a hard time for a while there that nobody would support him. And he took the support where he could get it. And they were not enemies anyway. They were, you know, they were in different programs. And they related to God in different ways. But they called each other brothers. Paul said, you know, talked about the weaker brother. That's who he's talking about. That was during that brief time there when they had come out of the synagogue, both those that believed the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ, and those that believed the gospel of God and were completed as just like Lazarus or Philip or whoever else, you know, Barnabas. They were completed Jews. The Bible calls them converted in what is it, Acts 3:19, I think. That may not be it. I don't recall. But they're called converted a couple of times. Anyway, I don't want to get stalled on that. Let's get back to the notes here. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. So remember that the work was a dispensation of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that was during a time period. A dispensation that it began in Acts 13, verse 2, when they were commissioned to go out to the synagogues. Go out with the work, actually. It doesn't say synagogues, but as you go through the Acts record, that's what they did. Acts 13, verse 2 through Acts 20, verse 6 would be the dispensation of the gospel of Christ. Let's read some of those verses. Look at Acts 13. We'll start in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, I guess it is, which had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. So, who were these guys? There were in the church that was at Antioch, that's Antioch of Syria, where they're first called Christians. There were at that church certain prophets and teachers, and then it named them. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And that's what the Holy Ghost said. Now, those were in agreement in that group. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So there's the sending by the group, and that group, that ended. They went on their route, and when they had completed it, that sending ended in Acts 14:26, I think it is. But the Bible goes on to say in verse 4, Acts 13:4, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed from Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So there was a Holy Ghost sending that continued on. The Holy Ghost sent them, separated them for the work whereunto he had called them, and sent them forth. And so that didn't end in Acts 14:26. That ended when they were no longer sent to the work, but were sent to the ministry. The work continued until it was expanded to the ministry, which is what, Paul received the ministry to testify of the grace of God. And that's in Acts 20. It's in Acts 20:24. He tells about it, 16 verses after, 18 verses, I guess, after Acts 20, verse 6, when he sailed away from Macedonia, a major city in Macedonia. And that, let me just read it. But this is Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy. And here's something that was given to him in the ministry which I have received of the Lord. It's the first time he mentioned that. To testify the gospel of the grace of God. Not the gospel of Christ anymore. It's the same message, but it's got a different address on it. It's a different pack. It's different people it's sent to. Well, I shouldn't say different. It's wider group, because it still includes the Jew first and also the Greek, but it includes all the Gentiles too. So the ministry was from the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God, in the dispensation of the grace of God, and extending from Acts 20 verse 6, when Philippians 4:15 says that that dispensation began, that gospel began, until the fullness of the Gentiles become into the body of Christ. So how you can look at how Paul identifies the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God to all men. Look at Philippians 4:15. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So Paul left Philippi, Macedonia, in Acts 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And that's where he first got a chance to tell about his being sent to all men now, that he had been told he would be sent in that temple vision back in Acts 18. But here in Acts 20, he's sent. And the first place he goes is to Troas, and he talks all night. He preaches all night. It's the only time that Paul preached all night. And he raised that Eutychus from the dead when he fell out of the third floor window, fell asleep. Remember, all the lights were burning. They didn't have electric lights. They welcome to the room, Kentina and Lydia. They didn't have electric lights, so they were burning candles that use up the oxygen. And he's sitting up there and gets sleepier and sleepier, falls out, and Paul goes and they find him dead. And Paul brings him back to life one way or another. And so they bring him in and are happy about it. But he says in 2 Timothy 4:11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Verse 12, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. And that's one of the ways we know that Ephesus is one of the later books written, because it was in the same time frame here, one of the later epistles, same time frame as this final book of Paul, 2 Timothy. The cloak that I left with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. So this shows that Paul did suffer. He suffered at least coldness in that dungeon where he wrote this letter. Look at Colossians 1:24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Now don't get confused there. Paul is not suffering for your sins or mine. He's suffering for the body's sake. And it's the afflictions of Christ in Paul's flesh, he says. 2 Timothy 4:13, just to read again, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring, makes you wonder if he left that cloak with the guy that, with Eutychus. No, he left it with Carpus, I don't know. Okay, can't make a connection there. Bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments. So take the example. Paul was still studying on his deathbed. Well, not his bed, he was in the dungeon. Paul was still studying the Word of God. Throughout this dispensation of the grace of God, our main resource, our final authority, is the preserved, pure Word of God. Get into it at least a little bit each day and see how exciting it is. Start in Romans if you haven't read Romans yet. Start there. Read it again. 2 Timothy 4:13, the cloak I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Why would he be rewarded according to his works instead of according to the grace of God? Because he was not a believer in the grace of God shown in the cross work of Christ, that Christ died for his sins. He wasn't believing, trusting Christ to have died for his sins. He's going to have to go and show his works to God, and that's not going to be sufficient, obviously. So here Paul gives a specific heads up, look out, Timothy, about this Alexander the coppersmith. But it also applies to us in a general sense, according to the warnings in verses peppered throughout 2 Timothy, some of which we've read. Let me just list six different spots where the warnings are listed. They're all in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, verses 8 to 12. If you're writing these down, it would be 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 to 12, verse 15 in the first chapter. Then chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, and chapter 2, verses 20, all the way through 3:13, chapter 3, verse 13, and lastly, chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. that we talked about yesterday. So, 2 Timothy 4:15, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. You can that can happen right, you know, in Pal Talk or in Facebook, or in personal encounters, or you know, with force, with violence too. I don't recall the event here that he's talking about, if there was violence involved, but it shows that Paul did suffer evil from Alexander the coppersmith, and the same will be with us. You know, it previews our lot as we work in the ministry, that same ministry to all the world, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, but spreading the gospel, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Verse 16, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all forsook me. That's Paul speaking. Can you imagine? Would you have forsaken him at his first answer if you were there? We can see Paul's first answer in Acts 22, verses 3 to 24. Let's start in, read Acts 22, the first six verses to start with, and then jump down to verse 17. Men and brethren, this is Acts 22, verse 1. Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept silence the more. They kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. Verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto death. In Galatians 1, he calls those that he persecuted the church of God. He also calls them... I can't think of it, but let's go on. Unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. Verse 5, also, as also the high priest doth bear me witness. Remember that Paul was there in Acts 7:58, I think it is. Saul of Tarsus is mentioned, and in verse 1 of 7, as Stephen starts final sermon of his, it says that the high priest was part of the proceedings. He was part of the event there that stoned Stephen. So all Israel, the leadership of Israel, fell that day. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders. The elders were there. The scribes were there. The council was there in Acts 7. From Acts 6 and 7, you know, it starts in Acts 6. From whom also I received letters unto the brethren and unto Damascus. That's not what it says. Let me get it right. Letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto, which were there, bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished for their beliefs, is what's implied there. verse 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Well, when Paul finishes telling about his Damascus Road salvation pattern that Christ set up from Christ, he continues telling about a later experience in Jerusalem, not on the Damascus Road. It was in the temple in Jerusalem. And he says in verse 17, and it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. In other words, he's going to tell them something that's going to change the attitude of the people when they hear it. So don't ignore that crucial statement in the Word of God or the indications in the context around it about the timing of that event. When he was in the temple there and the Lord told him, get out quickly, they're not going to receive your testimony about me. Verse 19, and he said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, that's a strong word. And then he says, why? For I will send thee, future tense, I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And that far hence is far away. It's not the close ones that he had been talking to in the synagogues. So that was the first answer that Paul was talking about. The following verse after this verse, it tells to what Paul was referring when he said, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So let's read the next verse. This is Acts 22:22, and they gave him audience unto this word, far hence unto the Gentiles. So he was going unto those far off Gentiles, the general, not the ones that blessed Israel, not the Greeks that sought the wisdom of God in the synagogues. He's going to those foreign, pagan. He was sent to the heathen, the remainder of the Gentiles, us. Finally, expanding the salvation message to all men, even to those that God cursed in Genesis 12, verse 3, the middle part, 3b. I will curse him that curseth thee. And the Gentiles were under that curse until Israel fell, just before Paul was saved. Paul was saved in Acts 9, and Israel fell at the end of Acts 7. And beginning of Acts 9 starts off, and Paul's still breathing forth threatenings. So it was almost immediately afterwards that Paul went off to Damascus and got saved. So as he told them this, and they gave him audience unto this word, and then they lifted up their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, it is not fit that he should live. So they were rough with him, violent. They were going to kill him. It's not fit for him to live. Acts 22, verse 23, and as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, verse 24, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle, and bade that he should be examined by scourging. Well, I wouldn't want to be examined that way. We've gone through exams, you know, in school or whatever. But this examine was to be whipped by scourging, that he might know wherefore they so cried against him. 2 Timothy 4:16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. Verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Why? For what purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? That by me the preaching might be fully known. Why is that? For what further purpose did the Lord stand with Paul and strengthen Paul? That all the Gentiles might hear. Not just the Greeks in the synagogues. That all the Gentiles might hear. There was a change that occurred. Paul was told about it in Acts 18:22. Paul was sent on it in Acts 20:6. And here he's rounding up. He's summarizing what happened in the last chapter that he wrote before he was executed. So, he's saying not merely he's not merely sent to the Gentiles or that portion of the Gentiles that Paul was sent to in Acts 13 that we read about earlier. According to Acts 26:15-20 recounts that sending, but and Paul's salvation. According to 2 Timothy 4:17, at the time the Lord stood by Paul in Acts 22, there had been new resistance because of Paul's new gospel of the grace of God to all men, not just to the Jews and the Greeks. That's what they were fighting about. They knew about the Greeks in the synagogues. They didn't have any gripe with them hearing the gospel and converting. Well, not converting, that would be to Israel. Believing and being saved. So, look at a little bit later on in that series there in Acts 23:11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so shalt thou bear witness also in Rome." So Paul was not only sent to the Jews, not only to Gentiles, but to kings. You remember in Acts 9:15. That's not all at once. They're not even in order, but at least not in chronological order in 9:15. So look at Acts 26:22. Having therefore, don't ever forget that word, therefore. Having therefore obtained help of God, the Lord, you remember, the Lord stood by him, it said. Having obtained help of God, I continue unto this day from the time. You have to look back what that therefore was there for, what that's talking about. Look at the verse before it. Acts 22:21. Let me just pull that up to 22:21. Says, and he said, no, that's not what I'm looking for. 26:21. Did I give you the right reference? For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple. So he told them about being sent to all people, to those cursed Gentiles from Genesis 12:3, part B, I will curse him that curseth thee. How, you know, they're thinking, how can God save those that he promised to curse? You know, there's a conflict there. Something's wrong with Paul, they were thinking. They didn't realize Paul had new revelation from God. God was starting a new pattern in which he would save people that believe that Christ died for their sins without trusting their own works at all. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So, having therefore, why did he receive help, obtain help from God? Because of what it says in the verse before. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Because of that I obtained help from God, help of God, and I continue unto this day witnessing to both in small. In other words, from the time Paul was charged and he received that help unto the day that he's telling about it, witnessing to both small and great, saying none other things than which the those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. That delivered, doesn't that remind you of Acts 26:17? Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you. That was the earlier sending of Paul to the work. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. So I hope you can see the connection there. Paul had been sent to those from whom Jesus was going to deliver him. Paul, in Acts 9, that was the people, the Jews, that did not yet believe the gospel of God. They didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. And the Gentiles that did not yet believe the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Messiah. So you got both Jews and Gentiles. The people would be the Jews, and the Gentiles were the ones in the synagogues. It'd be those Gentiles in the synagogues. Jesus was... So the gospel of God is that he's the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. Let's go on to verse 18. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. So since the time of 2 Timothy, Jesus sent Paul to those whom he would he would deliver him from the trying to get it across. Jesus sent Paul to those from whom he would deliver him. And he delivered him from death at that one time, you recall, there in Acts 14. So the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and that indicates to me that Jesus had then sent Paul to every man, every evil work, every man. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. Remember in Acts 26:17, Paul said that in Acts 9, Jesus said he was sending him to those from whom he would deliver him. So starting in Acts 9, there were some Jews and some Gentiles to whom Jesus sent Paul. Not all the Gentiles yet, and from whom Jesus would deliver Paul. So that was a specific sending to a specific people. Not to all Jews, not to all Gentiles. It doesn't say to all. It says to those from whom Jesus would deliver Paul. And you can read Acts 26:17 again about that. But by the time of 2 Timothy 4:18, Jesus told Paul to preach not only to the Jews and Jew blessers, but to every evil work from which Jesus would deliver him. And, of course, when Paul was to go to be with the Lord was when he would no longer be delivered. And the gospel still goes to all people. He will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're getting near the end here of the book. Let's just get through these last few verses, and then we'll close the study and answer questions, or try to relate the questions to Scripture, or see what we can learn. 2 Timothy 4:19. Salute Prisca and Aquila, elsewhere called Priscilla and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Verse 20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus I left at Miletum sick. So although Acts 28, you can see there in verses 8 and 9, Paul had powers to heal. Here in 2 Timothy, later on in 2 Timothy 4, verse 20, Paul had to leave Trophimus at Miletum sick. So, in other words, he didn't have body of Christ powers anymore. He still apparently had, in Acts 28 there, had the signs of an apostle. But Israel was on their way out then. Look at the verse 21. This is 2 Timothy 4:21. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Remember, he asked for the cloak that I left with Troas, at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest. So Paul was trying to prepare for a cold winter in prison. He had asked Timothy to bring his cloak, and now do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Last verse, verse 22, the Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And that's the book of 2 Timothy, and the many references in there to passing on the doctrine of Paul received from Christ, passing it on down through history to you and to me, it comes to now, and to those that come behind us. We need to pass it on to them. Find faithful men and teach them that they may be able to teach others also. Okay, I'm done with this. Any questions, comments, or corrections, let me know if I misspoke, please. Don't want to leave it with a question in people's minds.